Roanna Hepburn is a community activist. She has been on the Point Douglas Residence Committee for over 20 years and is currently the co-chair. She has worked for the University of Manitoba's Inner City Social Work Program for 30 years. She is a grandmother of two as well as a great-grandmother, and she is currently campaigning the Legislative Assembly of Manitoba to hold a full and independent investigation into a case of violence committed against her granddaughter by the Winnipeg Police Service, as well as demanding that an independent provincial task force be created to investigate police brutality, especially against First Nations people and communities. So can you tell me what brought about you initiating this campaign?
Well, I initiated this campaign because of what happened to my granddaughter on March 1st. On March 1st, my granddaughter was viciously assaulted by five members of the Winnipeg Police Force. Stephanie, my granddaughter, was at the Robin's Donuts on the corner of Salter and Selkirk. And I guess there was a disturbance. She was arguing with some girls in there. And the police were called, and they caught Stephanie. Nobody else was arrested, but they caught Stephanie, and she fell to the ground. It was very icy at that time. She fell to the ground, and the police pulled her up from the ground by her hair, and then they told her to settle down or they would taser her, so she calmly put her hands behind her back. And at that time, they took her and shoved her head into the police car. And they started knocking her around and hitting her head on the window of the police car and roughing her up. And then she couldn't figure out why the police were treating her this way. These are the people that we have always told her to respect, that they protect us. And here the police were, one was trying to tie her legs and the other one had his hand on the back of her head pulling her hair and had another hand over her face. So in self-defense, Stephanie bit his finger. And, well, I guess that was a big mistake to do. She shouldn't have done that, but she was very scared. She just turned 18. A month and a half before this incident happened. Well, they took her to the Hartford station, and on the way to the Hartford station, they called her a stupid Indian and a dumb Indian. And so Stephanie said, "Can you please take me home?" And he says, "Why do you want to go home? To fuck your Indian daddy?" So I am appalled that anybody would even think those words, let alone say those words to a young woman. So they took her to the police station, and as they were walking up to the police station on Hartford, another policeman came up and said, "So you like to bite?" A policeman. And he smashed her right in the face, in the nose. And of course there was blood everywhere, and Stephanie thought her nose was broken. They took her inside. That was even before they got into the building. They took her inside the Hartford station, and they took her inside of an interview room, and which nobody can tell me if there's cameras in that room. And they handcuffed her to a table or a chair or bench or something, and they started kicking her. One at a time, they would kick her in the stomach, in the ribs, in the legs, in the back, hitting her in the face. And all the time she was lying there on the floor, bleeding. And Stephanie has no idea how long this went on, but she thinks it probably was around 45 minutes. She's not sure. When the police took her in, they did not realize that she had her cell phone in her pocket. And at that time, when they were all out of the room, she was able to, with both of her hands were handcuffed, but she was able to get to her cell phone with her, one of her hands. And I don't know how she did it, but she dialed, her mom and was yelling, "Mom, mom, help me. They're beating me." So her mom was frantic about this, And she didn't know who was beating her. She thought it was some kids or a gang of kids or something. And so her mom called me, and we immediately went and started looking for her. And by the way, she also was able to, she dialed another number, speed dial, and it was one of her closest friends. And that friend heard for about 10 minutes what was going on in the room with the policeman yelling and screaming at her. And and she has documented that and submitted that to Stephanie's lawyer. So there are a couple audio evidence of people hearing what was going on there. But we went down to the Hartford station and asked if there had been any reports on a Stephanie Warren being a fight or something happening with some kids. And they asked her mom and I to go into the back room. And we went in there, and they said, yes, Stephanie had been arrested for assaulting a police officer. And we were totally shocked that, White, he said, assaulting a police officer? This is a young gal that had never been in trouble before. She doesn't have a police record, never been arrested, and now assaulting a police officer? Well, he said, oh, yes, you know, and he told us about the disturbance at Robbins, and he showed us his finger where she bit him. And he says, well, I had a glove on. There was no evidence of any bite mark on that finger. But anyway, we were so surprised by this, and we told this police officer that she would be in there to apologize once she got out of jail. We were told that we were not allowed to see Stephanie that night, and we would have to apply for visitation rights. Stephanie was in jail for 48 hours before we were allowed to see her. And she was in jail for 24 hours before she was allowed to make a phone call to her mom, telling her mom exactly who was beating her, that it wasn't some kids, it was the police. And when Stephanie asked the police if she could make a phone call to her mom, he told her that she wasn't allowed to make a phone call. So I am shocked at that response. You're not allowed to make a phone call. Everybody thinks you're allowed a phone call. He told her she watches too much TV. That's what he told her. You watch too much TV. So, anyway, after Stephanie was, in jail for 48 hours, she was finally released. And that is what has brought about my campaign.
Had you ever heard of anything like this happening before?
I have never heard of anything like this happening before. I'm not sure where I've been. I'm shocked. I mean, I live in the inner city. I thought I had seen it all. But since this has happened, I can tell you I have been contacted by hundreds of people telling me their stories of how they have been brutalized by police, how they have been made. Of course, the moonlight trips to the edge of the city is very common, and I understand now. And I even know of one person that the police took his artificial leg and left him on the side of the road in minus 35 degree weather. One person lost his toes because the police made him walk barefoot for quite a while in minus 30, 35 degree weather, something like very cold weather. And he had to have his toes amputated. So my story has been in numerous small newspapers, articles. It has been my letter to Chief McCaskill. I wrote a letter to Chief McCaskill outlining the entire situation, and that letter has been forwarded by other people to, I imagine, thousands of people by now, and it's gone from coast to coast, and it's even gone down in the States. And so people are contacting me as a result of the letter being distributed far and wide. People are contacting me, telling me their stories. And if there is a public inquiry, they would like to have an opportunity to tell their story. This is very common. The police are totally out of control. And I'm not saying this is all police, because there are good police. But unfortunately, the bad ones are tainting the good ones. And I live in Point Douglas, and our community works very closely with the police here. And we have cleaned up numerous crack houses because the police have worked with us. However, these bad police are banding together, and they think nothing of beating an Aboriginal person. They think that they won't report it. They think nobody will believe them if they do report it. Two lawyers told us the second day Stephanie was in jail, two different lawyers told us that the Hartford station is the worst, and they know they can get away with it. They're not worried. They know nobody will believe them. So we do know the Hartford station is the worst.
Do you want to talk about what the letter is? You're talking about the letters being sent out all across coast to coast and even in the States. Do you want to describe what that letter exactly is?
That letter is the one I wrote to Chief Keith McCaskill, outlining the events of March 1st, what happened to Stephanie. And the letter is very disturbing. People are shocked. I think they're truly shocked when they read the letter. And that is why the letter has been forwarded on and on and on and on.
You work with the Point Douglas Residents Committee, as well as at the U of M Inner City Social Work Program. I'm wondering how your work through those organizations shaped the way you viewed police and how it's changed since Stephanie's case.
Yes, I do work for U of M Inner City Social Work Program, and I've been on the Point Douglas Residents Committee for over 20 years, and I have an incredibly strong network of supporters. Everyone is behind us on this issue. Every Aboriginal agency is standing behind us and has told me that this has been going on since the beginning of time, and nobody has been able to do anything about this issue. That it is common. Police are, Aboriginal people are scared to death of police. When there is a crime against an Aboriginal person, they are so scared of the police that they usually do not even report their crime against them, because they know it will get turned around against them. So they don't even bother reporting their crimes. One of my best supporters is Sal Burrows, the chair of the Residents Committee. He is working very closely with me on this issue. And as a resident of Point Douglas, Stephanie is a resident of Point Douglas too, and that is why he is working on this issue, because he's very involved with any crimes against people in Point Douglas. I work with hundreds of social workers. I've seen hundreds of social work graduates come out of our program, and they are all supporting us on this issue too.
What options do people have if they have been brutalized by the police?
Well, that is a good question. And the only option currently that they have is to call the police and report it. That is the only option they have. And they have to be strong. If you don't report it, there will be no stats indicating how widespread the problem is. What we're hoping will happen out of this is that there will be a public inquiry into police brutality, and that when people report a crime, it will be taken seriously after this public inquiry. It should be taken seriously now, but it's not being taken seriously. If there is a public inquiry, we want everyone to come forward and tell their story. And anybody that has a story to tell I would suggest you go to your Aboriginal agency that you deal with, or the Aboriginal Justice Center, or call Cop Watch, or any agency to get your story on record, and these people will know where to forward your stories to. They need to be told, and they need to come out during the public inquiry.
Stephanie did go to the Public Standards Unit, is that right?
Yes, Stephanie went to the Professional Standards Unit, and she also went to LIRA. And, of course, I don't have any faith that any positive action will come out of either one of these departments. The new police act that they're trying to legislate, trying to get passed this year in the legislature, is a start. It's not perfect, but it is a start. There will be civilians investigating these complaints. I hope later on that this unit will be strengthened, and I'm happy that they have started looking into this. There have been far too many reports in the past year alone, the past couple years alone, about police lying about their actions, fabricating evidence. Just in the Crystal Tamen inquiry, the police, of course, they all stuck up for each other. And that's what's happening in every single complaint that is filed with LIRA and the Professional Standards Unit. They are all sticking up for one another. And, of course, the stats show almost all of the complaints go in favor of the police. That is very clear evidence. Because the police, you're going to ask them, oh, did you beat this young woman? Did you beat Stephanie Warren? And, of course, they're going to say no. I would recommend that anybody that is abused by the police report it. They have to see what a widespread problem this is. It is not the police's right to beat people. That is not their job. Their job is to arrest them, people, if the need is substantiated, to take them to the remand center and let the courts do the rest. They are not to abuse anyone. The horror stories that I have heard, that is not the police's right. The police are, these police that are doing this, I feel, are very angry human beings. They have anger issues. I even wonder if they beat their wives and children. And I understand that the stats for that substantiates that a lot of them do. They also need more cultural sensitivity training. They, by calling people dumb Indians and stupid Indians, and they have not had nearly enough cultural sensitivity training. So that would be my recommendations.
A lot of people are really scared, like you said, to go to the police to report this. When you go to make a complaint, you have to go and meet with an officer by yourself. Can you explain what that process was like for her and how she dealt with that?
Yes, we were told that Stephanie was not allowed to have anybody in there with her. We did argue with that, but we were told that she absolutely could not have anybody in there. So we did the next best thing. Her mother and I went with her the evening of the interview, and we sat right outside the door, and we told Stephanie if there was at any time that they mistreated her or she felt threatened, that she could walk right through the door and we would be there. However, they did treat her with respect, and the interview went well.
Since then, you've been working on a petition. I'm wondering why you chose a petition as the avenue to deal with this.
We do have a petition circulating, and our goal is to get 10,000 signatures to hand deliver to Gary Doer. And those signatures will be delivered in May. We were told that 10,000 signatures is needed for them to take this seriously. On the petition, we are asking that a public inquiry take place for all police brutality against Aboriginal peoples. We're urging people to get signatures, and if you would like a signature, You can call me and I will gladly email you the petition, and you can get as many signatures as you can and get them back to me by May 15th. I can give you my phone number, and it is 942-8017. And just leave a message with your phone number or email address, and I will email you the petition. My email address is Hepburn, H-E-P-B-U-R-N, @cc.umanitoba.ca.
In your petition, you write that police violence targeting First Nations peoples and communities is a systemic problem across Canada and especially in Manitoba. I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit.
From what I have learned since this happened to my granddaughter, that this is an incredible problem against Aboriginal people. It has been going on for years and years and years and years, and it's all the complaints are going on deaf ears. And there seems to be some kind of sense among the police that Aboriginal people are not capable. They don't have feelings, and they do not deserve respect, and they are beneath them, and they can treat them like a piece of dirt. So we have to change that perception. We have to train these police and everybody else that has that perception that this is not the case. We have to do something about this. And I don't know if it's worse in Manitoba. I understand this is a problem all across Canada. This is not just Manitoba. Other provinces are going to have to do what we're doing. I have a group of university students from Ottawa that have been instrumental in helping with this campaign. And I know there's over 1,000 signatures for the petition coming from the University of Ottawa. I hope that everybody gets involved in this, because this is an outrageous thing that's happening in our society, that police take people behind closed doors and brutally beat them, or on the outskirts of town and leave them in frigid weather. If you can imagine the people that we pay our tax dollars to, our tax dollars go to pay the salaries of people that do these things. And I'm urging everyone to get a petition, get as many signatures as you can. We need 10,000 signatures to take to Gary Doer by May 15th. If you would like a petition to be sent to you or to email to you, call me at 942-8017. Leave a message. Leave me your email address. If you don't have an email address, I will deliver you petitions. In the year 2009, this is still going on in our society. We are going to put a stop to it. Thank you all so very, very much for any help that you can put into this.
You've been listening to an interview with Roanna Hepburn on police brutality in Winnipeg here on Black Mask, the frequency of resistance, CKW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.